Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's great to see each one of you. Yes. I'm just coming back. Bonnie and I came day before Thanksgiving. We were been ministering all over Europe. So this is my first sojourn and the last sojourn of the year. So I always look forward to being here with my Texas family. And this year, this is the first time. I have such an intense schedule. But I always look forward to being here at Austin Cathedral with Bill and Sue Hart. They have been dear friends of mine since 73, like you said. I just started being a pastor. I was a graduate of Wayland Baptist University. So I just want you to know, for some of you who are Baptists, that I'm an ordained, bona fide Southern Baptist minister. Yes. And so, it really is amazing training. 4 years of Baptist theology, day and night, and they, it's so proper. I learned to shake hands. Hello, good to see you. Dress in formal. And there they train you to go to bed in a three-piece suit. I don't know how many of you know John Wimber. He was a great, great, also signs and wonders guy. But I did a lot of conferences and healing services for him, especially in his later years. He asked me if I would do those for him. But he had his headquarters in California. And he was one of the most relaxed guys, though he was one of the great servants of God. But wore his tracksuit to preach. It was just, they would ask him, God did so many miracles. They would ask him, what do you do to prepare for a healing service? And he said, I just watch TV and eat potato chips. But anyway, he would ask me to come to California. And he would get so nervous because I would get dressed like this. I'm not wearing a tie. That's a big compromise. And he would say, Mahesh, please, you are in California. We are so relaxed. Even I preach in a tracksuit. Would you please mind not wearing a suit? I said, John, I understand. But I am a trained Southern Baptist minister. And if I don't dress up like this and give the word of God, Baptist demons will come and haunt me at night. I said Baptist spirits, but anyway. I'm just teasing. I love my Baptist background. And they know you got to give the word. So we'll share the word tonight. But with the word comes the presence that we hope. Bill and Sue have been so dear friends. And they have become family. 25 years ago, there was a... I don't know how many of you know Derek Prince. Raise your hand. You need to get to know his material too. But he was my mentor and my apostle. And we served alongside for 22 years. If you want to see YouTube and see his memorial service. I am the spiritual son who was asked to speak on his behalf. I shared some fun stories. When we served alongside for 22 years. Now talk about mentorship. It's important when you are able to get mentored by servants of God. I may share some fun stories about that. But stories that I shared, I just want to let you know, are the acts of the Holy Spirit. And so testimonies are portals to the glory. So they're not just good stories. Whenever they're stories about the Holy Spirit is embedded in that story. And he'll give you that miracle. So it's, they're not, stories are different. I mean, you can read a Ken Follett book or whatever. It's a bit different when you read about the Word of God or Jesus Christ. Anyway, when he moved, when Derek Prince moved to Jerusalem in his last years, then we were serving, we were co-pastors with him in Florida, and then I traveled all over, some with Derek. And he moved to Jerusalem. We needed to transition. We felt like God was telling us to move, but we had two major, Lord, where do we pray? Where do we go? And we were praying, and one of the main places I was being drawn to Austin, just want you to know, because part of my spiritual family was here. I loved Bill and Sue and all the others here, Jack and Pat and so many of you dear friends. And but the Lord moved us to Charlotte, North Carolina. But this has been a very, very center to my heart. I prophesied that there was a group of pastors who asked me to come to Austin in about 86, 85, 86. And that took me to the Austin, what is the House of your representative? What do you call it? The Capitol building. They took me to way at the top and asked me to pray over the city. And I had a prophetic word. I wish they had been recorded. For Austin and for Texas. And part of it was a prophetic word that you have not seen yet. Texas has not seen the seventh levels, the seven levels of Texas abundance and Texas strong. And that it'll be coming in the coming days. And it was a strong word. But anyway, I love Texas because the missionary gave me the Bible when I was in Kenya, Africa, as a Hindu young man, was from Texas. So Texas blessed me with the Word of God. And then I came to the university. I stood about number 12 and number 13. In the British Commonwealth, there's a test they give, an exam for high school kids, graduating kids, that was taken by 2 million high school kids across the British Commonwealth. And I was number 11, number 12 in 2 million. Not too bad, but I got a scholarship and all of that. I came here to the university, graduated, went to Texas Tech, by the way. And so I always, for years, there was very little text to cheer about Tech football. And suddenly that rose up. So, glory to God. Tonight, I want you to kind of stay in the, I'm so proud of Max. I told him that when you get a prophetic, the where the glory is, the prophetic is there, and he hovers over you. And but then there is a way in which you become congruent with the glory. So there is a way that you want to become one with, even if it's a generic word, you want to become one with that word. So that's part that you play. You exercise faith. The greatest congruency you ever see in history, therefore, we celebrate it at this time of the year. When the word came to Mary, she was the potential mother of Jesus, but she was not the mother of Jesus yet. She was just a young, precious young girl who got a word. The presence of the angel came. But it was very dependent on her. God does not totally come and take over. He gives you the ability to choose. And she became one with the word. See, That's one of the premier. So you'll hear me talk about becoming one with the Word, becoming one, congruent with the glory. And the Word, as the angel said, you're going to be with child. You're going to do. She had, and she spoke that word of agreement. That's probably the greatest word of agreement ever spoken. She said, be it unto me according to your word. And none of us really would have been saved. None of us. I mean, her faith of that little girl changed and shaped the history of the universe. So faith is important. Response to God and response to a specific word or a generic word is very important for it. I want to say, I've always looked forward to being here at Austin Cathedral, being with so many of you who I consider family. And I'm so grateful to Joel and Cheryl Davis and Darren and Jennifer Shaw. And didn't you enjoy it? I hope you don't get tired of my telling how awesome your worship team is. And the faithfulness I see. You know, I mean, Eric, you are a star. You and Natasha. I see there. Tell her I noticed that she was not here. Okay. Hi, Natasha. It is not substitute for being here physically, but, and then Corey and Wes, I've seen you, your faithfulness, and that's a key for the apostolic glory to rest on people, is faithfulness. That's one of the, we commit to each other, we commit to the church. It's important that we are faithful. I mean, I have, talk about Texas, by the way. Not only did I graduate from the university here, but I got baptized in the Holy Ghost here in Texas. The miracle ministry began here in Texas. And one of the greatest things, I met my wife in Texas. Yeah, that's true. But we've been married 41 years. And by the way, my ministry, if you want to go on the internet, it's Chavda Ministries, Mahesh Chavda, Bani Chavda, More Glory. But I got tired of saying all of that, so I basically told people, put in Google, good-looking evangelist. And so the whole Google world recognizes there's only one good-looking evangelist. And so I tell Bonnie that she has the privilege of being married to the good-looking evangelist in the world. I don't tell him about the domain name, but anyway. And then there was someone who felt like they had to follow my pathway. So the good-looking pastor has been designated as Bill Hart. But you need to have more faith to believe that. But it is true. Anyway, he's my friend. His ears tell a lot of lies about me, so I can. But anyway, it's great to see all of Todd and Elizabeth Plank, Bill and Stacy Reed, who are taking care of the youth, Aaron and Rachel Deckler, and all the eldership. Jack and Pat Parker. Pat have taken care of me over the years. So wonderful. It's so great. And Paul and Deborah Baker and Donna Triplett. I don't see Donna here. And, of course, Corey and Wes. So, anyway, glory to God. I have, we're going to go to the Word. Remember I said, if I don't give the Word, I will get haunted. But I'm trying to hear from the Lord. He kind of says things to me. But our book table, we're going to have books, but they're here in the spirit. They are in process somewhere in the ethereal realm. But it's okay. I mean, a lot of you are familiar with our material. But you can, we have a free download of a special prophetic word message I gave this year. And so you can sign up to get that gift at the book table if you want. And then we have, if you will, you can get us 24 hours a day now these days. We have an app, Childhood Ministries app. Did they put it up there? I can't. Yeah, it's very nice. And you can get awesome testimonies. Whenever you want to get filled up, listen to testimonies and stories of the Holy Ghost. And you can enter into that realm if they are from the Lord. So it is great. Yeah, you can take a picture of that app and then go on it. But great messages and videos, prophetic words and testimonies. So, we will go to 1 Kings 18. And while you're going to it, I told you we were first on this recent trip. I was in Belgium and then went to Switzerland. We had the World Full Gospel of Businessmen's Convention in Brussels. And Bonnie and I were the main speakers there. And we got this 2 years ago, and then they had again. But the King and Queen of Belgium sent us an official letter of invitation. When God gave me a prophetic word and told me to watch the TV at a certain time, but when I turned it on, the King and Queen of Belgium, King Philip and Queen Matilda, were on. And I said, "What is that?" And God says, "They're going to invite you to Belgium, and you go, and that you will know that that's from me." And sure enough, a few months later, I got an invitation from them to come. "We welcome you to Brussels, to the World Convention." And they were supposed to be there, but they were visiting, have an official visit to, state visit to India. So they sent the apologies. I said, "You're excused." I'm teasing. Anyway, I want you to listen to, this is the man who invited us to Belgium. He is one of the leading ophthalmologists and has one of the biggest centers for ophthalmology and eyeglasses and all that in Belgium. So, do you have his testimony? Can you share that? Is it showing? No? All right. We may. I wanted to share a principle from there. Maybe it'll come. Maybe not. Is it not coming for you guys? Rick Van Nester. Sorry. You have that eye healing? Sorry, guys. Anyway. So. Huh? Okay. Well, that happens often. I'll just tell you. So this happened, about 17, 18 years ago. And I'm in the London Coliseum. And I'm speaking there. And then just like just for a moment, I pause. I hear something from the glory. And in fact, right now, there's someone here. There's a loved one in prison. Is there someone here that has... Where are you? Is that okay? Well, are you raising your hand or halfway? Okay. Is it a son or husband? Okay. Who is that? Son? Okay, both of you, just stand up for a moment, because the angel, I believe, is going right now, and that this is the time that one of the words, see, the word is alive, and we enter into it. Jesus said, I came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit is eternal. He is the third person of the Godhead. And he has anointed me. So the anointing is here. It's not just 2,000 years ago. When the word is hovering. And it is hovering over you, over your family. And right now, God, you know, there's a servant who kind of once in a while can hear from the glory. But I'm praying all of you will be able to hear. And Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. And it doesn't matter what kind of accusation. Is that your cousin? Who is that? Yeah, that's what I felt like. Anyway, the glory. You are here, and then when you are here, you are a point of contact for miracles. All right. And the miracle is here tonight to set the captives free. So I don't know how that's going to happen. When we're going to ask and release the blessing for your husband, for your son, for your cousin. And we thank you, Lord. We don't understand how the process is going to happen, but you are starting the process in the glory, in the mercy. The accusation is totally bound up, and God wants to extend his mercy. And I praise God. Thank you that the Lord of glory and the angels who said glory to God in the highest and on earth, shalom, peace, breakthrough, healing, and total release. And then there is a deliverance for your son too in the name of Jesus. That yoke, he has been struggling with that yoke. Is that right? And there is a breakthrough and a miracle right now. What's his first name, if I can? Austin? How about that? There is a breakthrough for Austin today. In Jesus' name. What's his name? Tim? And his name? Gregory. For both, all of them, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a big clap. We praise you. Hallelujah. So, I was talking about Rick Van Nesta. Now, there was a principle I wanted to kind of point out as we talk some more about it's in the Word. And the current, one of the words that I want you to speak over you and over each of your families. But part of it is that there is a technology of the glory that you're just, today I'm kind of speaking to it like disciples or spiritual family, okay? And I'm saying, this is how you home in on the presence, and there is nothing is impossible with God. And this is the season. As you put up the lights, no. And as you pass by these decorations, one of the words I want ringing in your spirit that you can give to others is, that's what the angel says, and that's a living word right now for you and for the church, for Austin Cathedral, and for the city of Austin. It is time for the Austin glory revival. It is for the whole city, and that not one will be missing in that it is time. God is speaking a word. And so the word that came at this season that we celebrate, as we celebrate this season, we celebrate the living word that came at this season, part of one of the major prophetic words that you can say, this belongs to me and my family. It's nothing is impossible with my God. Say, nothing. Absolutely nothing is impossible with my God. So there is a creative miracle, even tonight, for hearts, even now, that God wants to give new hearts, that God wants to give vision. Where there is a lady going, I mean, it is, you're having difficulty with your vision. God is giving you vision, fresh vision, spiritual and physical. There is a healing for eyes tonight in Jesus' name. Anyway, nothing. Tell your neighbor, nothing is impossible with my God. So, Rick, where did he connect? Yes? Yay! Whoa! It got unfrozen. Glory. All right. This is Dr. Rick Winnester. Put up the bell.
With Pastor Mahesh and Bonnie Shavda. It was an incredible time. We have enjoyed it. It's one of the best conventions that Belgium has ever been, have ever had. So my experience was 17 years ago, there was a testimony. Pastor Mahesh was speaking there, and while he was preaching, he stopped and he said, someone is here now from blindness. So I'm an optician, and at that moment, I didn't close my eyes, but I just wanted to see what was happening. But the thing was, nobody was reacting, and I was just watching. And then he said, the person must be sitting there in that direction. There was a lot of people. No one was giving a reaction. And then finally he said, the Holy Spirit is giving me the name. And the name was Barbara. I think it was a girl from 19, 20 years old that ran towards the front. She was crying with her mom. She was born blind. She had never seen her mom. And I was broken inside. I saw other miracles happen and so on. And then when I was finally in my hotel room, I said, Lord, if you ever send this man of you, this general, to Belgium, I will jump a hole in the air just from happiness. So that's 70 years ago, and this dream is coming true, and I'm so overwhelmed what God was doing. Belgium is marked, will never be the same again. I wanted to say to all nations church and also the watch, you are so special. Thank you for your prayers. You may never underestimate what God has done in this small nation, but it became so different. So there is an impartation, and Belgium will never be the same again. So thank you, all of you. We love you. We appreciate what God is doing from your church.
Amen. What I wanted to see, this was, 17 years ago, he said, but when I had a word, so it was several thousand, but I pointed and I said, there's someone blind over there. God, the Holy Spirit is giving you a miracle. No one responded. And so when that happens, you would tend to get kind of, somewhat, I missed it or something. But the Lord, the glory is hovering. And we often, we lose focus. We are not trained in the Western society or in this era. We are not taught properly how to receive and how to focus. So that was an example I wanted you to hear from this great author on vision. He is a specialist on vision. And he makes instruments, find the best instruments for Belgium and for Europe, of eyeglasses and special eyeglasses. And so he had to run to see what's... I've never seen a blind eye open. He said, how is that possible? He ran, and he was one of the specialists who endorsed and said, I see this woman, young lady, who was born blind, is now seeing. Her eyes are completely restored. So the thing was, the process, and what I wanted, you, just part of it, I felt like since I'm coming just a few days ago, this was kind of fresh on me, is that when you get a word or you get a quickening in your heart, God is doing something, or it's going to something. We often will get either distracted or discouraged, and we will lose the focus on that particular word that God wants to give a miracle for your family, for your son, for your daughter, for yourself. And see, one of this I had forgotten. I mean, Rick told me, I am the one who endorsed that healing. I was one of the experts. And I remembered, what was the process then? See, there was nobody responded, but I stayed in the Holy Spirit then. I stayed connected. Suddenly, I get where she is sitting. Then I keep the focus there. And as I did so then, that's when I got her name. So in the London Colosseum, there is a woman, blind. And as I stayed focused in the anointing, I get the name also. And she screams and runs. She didn't have enough faith to respond to the first level. But you have to go to the second and third level to specificity, and she got it. Anyway, I have a word for you, and we're going to stay focused on it, and you're going to receive it, and then we want to be in the spirit of Mary, who said, be it unto me according to your word. And yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord. Yes. All right. So I want to take you to on an adventure to 1 Kings 18. We are in a time machine. Shush, we're ready to go. Where are we going? To the time of Elijah. And poof, you emerge right on this awesome scene. Why do I talk it this way? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you want to be by faith. This is, in some ways, that is, as Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is apart from, the glory is apart from time and space. You just, I am that I am. Say, I am. Well, how did God introduce himself? Moses is in the presence of the glory on Mount Sinai. And he gets a commission. Hey, you are going to lead several hundred thousand Jews to freedom. They have been slaves for 400 years. Now is the time. Set them free. And he said, well, okay. I don't know. But who shall I say sent me? I am that I am. Sent me. So God is not, see, religion, so that is an ongoing battle for us individually and for the church of Jesus as we celebrate 500 years of the Reformation. Do you know that this is October, November, December, 500 years ago was, I mean, the foundations of faith across the nations was shaken by one man standing up, Martin Luther. But then it got across into Switzerland. There was a man named Zwingli. And then in England, there were William Tyndale and others. I mean, suddenly it started springing up people started being hit by the glory. How did that come? They had a supernatural belief and hunger for the Word of God, and they're centered on the Word of God. Before, I mean, if you look at the church was, at that time, what we call the church, was infected. It had been polluted by corruption and greed. But that is not representative of Jesus Christ. So if you're hungry for God, God will feed you and will give you water. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We're coming to Jesus. We don't come to an organization. Jesus will give you supernatural water and drink and release. Even tonight, I am that I am. So God's word is always I am. Tonight, he is I am to you. If your child, there is someone here, your daughter needs to be helped where she has chosen a lifestyle, an alternate, they call it lifestyle. And you can stand in for her. But God, the spirit of deliverance is there for his people. I am that I am. And then God wants to specifically break different yokes over. This is part of the prophetic stream. I feel like there is a major shaking in this hour. Just like 500 years ago. The Lord had arranged that at this time in October, November, that I got an invitation to be right there in Saxony, Germany, where Martin Luther got that vibration. And I mean, talk about the pillar shaking. The word came. And that was the region where I was just 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, whatever. The Moravian started. And Zinzendorf was right there in that area, Count Zinzendorf. And they had a prayer service. And they kept that in the spirit of the prayer service. Once they got it, they wouldn't leave it. See, and that's part of the discipline God wants to restore. Because that prayer movement and that prayer service, they prayed, guess what? For 100 years without break. And they sent from their group some of the highest numbers of missionaries that were the most dedicated missionaries and really impacted the nations of the world. So that's from when you get the word, you get faithful and then focus, stay focused on it. Anyway, we are going to look at this scenario and then receive it, make it personal for us. It says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, Israel at this time, as we look around, if you were in that time machine and you emerged, you would see desolation. You would see the result of no rain, of famine, because there is drought. Say drought. So there has been a drought for 3.5 years. And when this is an agrarian or agricultural society, and they have been without rain day after day, month after month, year after year. And many in Texas, I mean, Texas is very close to the earth. Many people of Texas, they know. They may live in the city, but they know they are surrounded by an agrarian society that there is, when there is drought, you know there is drought, right? You know when you go through the drought season. And this season, as we look at this word here, they have been in the middle of famine and drought. The drought has come, and yet suddenly the answer is in the men of God, in the people of God. The answer, what I want to really emphasize tonight, is that we are at this place. There is a measure of victory that we are experiencing right now in America. But there is a challenge that I want to give to the people of God that we have to push through for some major, awesome blessing that are coming, but you have to push through for this breakthrough that's about to be loosed over Texas and over this nation. That America is in a key prophetic place. But by the way, the answer, just like the Reformation, changed those nations. You go to Germany or Belgium or Switzerland or Great Britain, nation of the northern, the Scandinavian, other nations, but the northern part of Europe was awesomely touched by the revival that became a Reformation. When we experience revival, it changes. If it's real, it's not just a one-time religious experience or a bunch of wonderful religious experience. It starts transforming you. Your appetite changes. Your desires change. Your discernment, your decision-making, everything is transformed by the revival glory. When that comes over a bunch of people, then it becomes Reformation. So I was in the land of Reformation just 2 weeks ago. But you have to sustain that. And you have to pour water in it and feed it. Anyway, it impacted. If you let revival stay, then it impacts culture. It impacts the educational system. It impacts music. It impacts the arts. And so that's, as I state, part of the principle I was talking about is stay focused. Stay focused. Stay there and sustain it and make it be more powerful and effective until, see, we call it then, like you look up on Google, look up the Protestant work ethic. See, in America, one of the great noble things that happened in this nation is we picked up from the spiritual fathers who laid the foundation here in this nation, the Judeo-Christian foundation. One of that was the Protestant work ethic. It was called the Protestant work ethic. Why? Because the Reformation brought change to such a degree that anyone who had been impacted by revival were so shaped by it. If you're a person who comes from that kind of background, then you are the most precious person that any industry can have. Any employer, if he can get you, he has gotten a treasure, because he will get more work and more inventiveness and more commitment from that person than any ordinary person. They have been impacted by the glory to such a degree that they are transformed people. And they are agents of blessing and hope and optimism and productiveness. And that's what part of the fruit of the Protestant Reformation was. So we are celebrating, but it's not enough. God, what are you celebrating? I mean, unless you commit yourself to it in a fresh commitment to what the Reformation meant. And so we have enjoyed the fruit of it and the labors of many people of the past centuries. But we need to once again pick up the torch of revival and Reformation and take it to the next level. Say, I'm taking it to the next level. Now, I'm putting words in your mouth, but I hope that that's something that you can agree with. Here then, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, there is no rain. You look around, Ahab would say, you've been smoking mushrooms, Elijah. I don't know, there's no rain. What are you saying? And by the way, buddy, there's not even a cloud in the sky. What are you talking about rain? But this man was hearing something and seeing something. I think last year, I may have shown you a picture of this lady I was in Toronto. I don't think I have that in my, but I often have that picture of this lady in Toronto at the church, airport church, of the great revivalist church. The senior pastor, I saw him a couple of years later. And he said, Mahesh, when you came last time, do you remember praying for Lindley? I said, I don't know who was Lindley. Then it was a lady on our staff. And I think there were about 4,000 people in the conference. And as I was going out after ministry, I turned to this lady and I just pointed at her, said, "I see you with a baby." Well, she was, I didn't know who she was or whatever. She was kind of almost offended because she had gotten married later in her life. She was in her 40s. She and her husband had been trying to have children for 14 years. The doctors, the specialists in Canada had told her there was no way you can have children. You don't have the capacity anymore. And here is this interfering servant of God who comes and says, "I see you with a baby." She had settled. She had peace. "I'm never going to have a child." And 9 months and 2 weeks later, she had a beautiful baby. And we have a picture and all of that. But her name is Lindley. So, but what was I seeing? See, just like I hear the sound, I could see her with a baby. I could hear the sound of the baby crying. And I could hear in that spirit, I could hear it was her baby. It wasn't someone else's. And I spoke a prophetic word that came to pass, the process all to happen, but it manifested completely 9 months and 2 weeks later. That's the realm of the prophetic, where it is being generated in the glory. Say, in the glory. So there are even things tonight for you, for your family, for healing, for breakthrough, for financial increase that you have never dreamt of, that God is about to give. Especially, I saw that in 1986 or 85, over the state capitol, a kind of financial prosperity that was coming and a release of blessing and glory over Texas that I have not yet seen manifest, but I was seeing it in the spirit. So there is a way in which, and tonight I want you to learn, if to the degree I want to impart to you in a little while, I'll lay hands, that you would become a person who hears sounds and who sees in the realm of the glory and then start speaking in that manner to your situation. Because there are people that you are connecting with that are desperately in need of a breakthrough and a touch. But you are disciples. Jesus, as he gave a vision to his disciples, he said, and I want to release that word to you, "As my Father sent me, so send I you." Isn't that amazing? He didn't say, "Oh, this is my ministry and nobody else can get it now." No, no, no. Hey, multiply this. You are going to see awesome things. And, in fact, he added something that's just so amazing. He said, "The works I do, you shall do, and greater works than these." And yet, there is a satanic spirit that will always fight that. So, that even sometimes come disguised as theologians saying, "God doesn't do this anymore. God does." Now, you tell that. I would say, it's fine, nice to give lectures. You now have the courage to go into that hospital and that weeping mommy and daddy who just have been told their child has heart disease and they're going to lose that baby. And tell them, go ahead and tell them, "God doesn't do anything like this." Go ahead and have the guts to tell them. And you know what? This year, we began this year with someone in our church whose their grandbaby, their children, grown children, had a baby. And the babies had severe heart problems. And then the heart stopped. got resuscitated, but they said, we're going to lose the baby. This heart is not going to last. And I declared a 21-day fast. The baby's name was Noah. And for 21 days, we held on. And we were praying for other things, but when our major prayer focus was on Noah. It's this January. And the baby died again. They were resuscitated, and the baby was in a coma. And I said, we're going to hold. This baby is going to live and not die. And declare the works. I mean, God wants to raise a people who are going to, it's easy to say, I want to slap them on the head. Like Jethro does often. You know, in NCIS, slap them on the head. Wake up. Don't tell me God doesn't do this. Go ahead and have the courage to tell those parents. And you know what? I'll tell you the end. I mean, as we held on, suddenly the baby came out of the coma. And then several days later, the doctor said, the baby is fine. You can take the baby home. That's the community, the Reformation community God wants to raise up. You are part of the community. Anyway, so we hear in the prophetic, and I want you, each of you, hear the prophetic destiny that God is releasing for us and for you, for your family, that it's important. And always there will be. It says in Isaiah, when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against you. So if an enemy has come up against you, how many of you have had that experience when an enemy comes in? Well, welcome to the club. When the enemy comes, I want you to get excited about the miracle that's about to happen. Don't get wimpy in this hour. Tell your neighbor. He's saying, don't get wimpy. Do you know what the meaning of wimpy is? We get fearful and cowardly. And lose the vision and lose the focus. And the anointing is hovering over us. And the miracle breakthrough is there. And yet we get distracted or we get fearful. And the glory is right there to speak the blind eye into manifestation. Ah, I'm excited. I want to tell you, we are pregnant. You can tell my wife, I am pregnant. I'm pregnant with the vision of the glory returning back to the church in a greater and greater way. We are seeing from glory, say glory to glory. And tonight, and I want each of you to pick up a vibration. Nothing is impossible with my God. Say nothing is impossible with my God. And I'm telling you a few of the glory miracles to say, I'm seeing it right now. It's not so many years ago or two. I mean, I saw baby Noah, who died two times, was in a coma, and God told us, we're going to claim this baby is going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. But there is a challenge for us. And I'm telling you in a most loving way, don't get lazy. Tell your neighbor, don't get lazy. And by lazy, I mean lazy in faith. Okay? We got things to do and awesome miracles to believe in. So here is Elijah. There's in a process. See, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And if you see, hold on. I'm getting faster. My brain is going faster than I am. So he's putting his face. This is the traditional position of intercession, bending over in prayer. And said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." Now he's seeing something in the spirit. And I want you to see things, start seeing things in the spirit for you, for your children. Some of you have heard my story of both of our sons, how they were attacked. And our oldest son was in a terminal kidney disease. And I've told many, several times here, the glory came. We saw the golden cloud, the presence right there over his little intensive care, little bed there. And the glory came and resurrected his kidney. And he lived. But the other thing was, that's not enough. You got to focus. Sometimes we just get the miracle and we say, okay, thank you. Well, no. There is a fruition. There is something that's going to be birthed. What was birthed in your miracle? Something was birthed. Each of you got a miracle. That's why I'm so proud of Max. And his testimony is, he got a word. He let the Lord hover over it, held on to it year after year, and it grew. Hallelujah. That's kind of faith God is looking for. And a courage. You are from a special tribe called the tribe of Judah. You are the tribe of praise. And it's led by the Lion of Judah. So you're going to roar in the anointing. And so, do you see a cloud? So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Now it came to the seventh time. Seventh time. Say seventh time. I want you to take note of it. That he has gone up. Look, I'm seeing something. Go again. Do you see? I don't see anything. Do you see? I don't see anything. See, we give up. Often at number one, I don't see anything. Okay, we go up at number two or number three. Seven times. So the said at seventh, verse 44, then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds, wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So the sky became black with clouds, and there was a heavy rain. Say, heavy rain.
Heavy rain.
So the drought was broken. The drought is over. Elijah brings the manifestation. The drought. Elijah represented the double portion of the Spirit of God. And the drought is over. What I want to declare over you guys is this. That this is one of the prophetic words that I feel God is giving us authority to declare it. And I want to declare it over you, over your children, over your finances, over family relationships, over your business, over your future. The drought is over. Now, I printed this. There's an article at the end of spring, beginning of summer. And there's a headline. I don't know how many of you can read it. But it says, this is for the United States. The nationwide drought of the last few years is over in the United States. Officially, the United States was declared after 17 years. No drought over any of the 48 states that are in the continental United States. For 17 years, some place or the other was in drought. But as of the end of spring, the beginning of summer, the people who look at geography and keep the figures, they said officially, we can no longer say there's any place in drought. The drought is over. Drought is over. And the Bible principle is first in the natural, then in the spiritual. So we're going to claim it over in the natural. So for your finances, for your children, there is a word that's coming from the glory. And you take it. The drought is over. Say, the drought is over. And those gentlemen at the back were in charge of the video. Are you there? Wait. Do you have that the Kenya pastor story? Yes? Oh, great. Thank you. Now, when this word first came to me around in the summertime, the Lord said, yeah, I pointed at this pastor. He was in one of my services in Virginia. And he says, this is the word for you too. The drought is over. Can you play that? He is from Kenya. He's a pastor. And it's fun to see if it cooperates. So, remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wave your hand is it ready? Alrighty. So, we will go from here. We'll go to hallelujah. I have it. The thing was, I think we had pictures there. All right. But praise the Lord. What I wanted to see, so some pictures in that, but if it doesn't, it's all right. His area, I think Kitale, wherever it was, in Kenya, was in drought. As he got the word, when he was able to get, after the meeting, he called Kenya. And he said, I just got the word. And they held out, from what I understand, if I remember, I've not heard the testimony for a while. His family held out the phone and said, look, here, the just this last hour, it started raining. And it hasn't stopped. You got it? You got it? Oh, okay. That was the voice, I guess, that was talking. Yay. As these guys, this is the word. Is it coming? Oh, sorry. Well, Yay. Now the sound will come.
Mr. Chamda was speaking. He spoke a prophetic word, and the message was that the drought is over. And that message touched my heart. As I was, as he had finished ministering, I called Kenya, where I came from, Nakuru, especially Nakuru, Kenya. Nakuru, Kenya has been affected by drought almost 1 year. And when I called, they told me there were signs of raining. After some few minutes, the rain came down in a mighty way. So I thank God because of the servant of God saying and declaring that the drought is over and there is a new season of raining. And I now confirm that it was a really word, a confirmation word from God. So I praise him. I give God the glory and the honor because he's faithful. So this meeting of the 63rd session is not in vain. There's great things that are going to happen. Even today, he confirmed another word about the church, about the multiplication. He said there is a ministry in me of multiplication. And that is a ministry I've been praying for, seeing many, to reach many, to come to Christ. And I'm so happy that he has confirmed, the servant of God has confirmed the word. It is a prophetic word, and I praise his name. May God bless his servant. May God continue using him in his mighty way, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, glory. I will. And later, a few days later, he sent me pictures. And I mean, the whole harvest. Everything in the fields was so green in Nakuru, Kenya. But there was someone receiving that word that drought is over. And tonight, I felt like that was one of the major words the Lord was giving me, that to declare over us and our families, the drought is over. All right? It says, connected with that I just want to just finally mention, and then I want to pray for you, that there's a scripture in Joel. Here it is. As we receive, you see Elijah get in that position of intercession. And that's a word of instruction for us as fathers, as mothers, as pastors, as elders, as leaders, that this is one of the keys. Here in Joel chapter 2, I won't take the time, but it again speaks. Israel was an agrarian society. And so when droughts came, famine would come. And with famine, the economy would be devastated. The whole nation would be in ruin and devastation. But the Lord said, I will, if you do these things, I will give you. Here in Joel chapter 2, he says, I will give you the former and latter rain. And I will do this and this. And this is, Joel chapter 2, by the way, is the key for us as Pentecostals. I will, you know, that the Spirit of the Lord will come. And the Holy Spirit would came in visitation. And I'll pour out my spirit of all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The key, I said, I just wanted to speak for us for the coming days. The Lord says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather even the children, and let the priest, the minister of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to reproach. And then the Lord will be jealous for the land, pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will give you, it's verse Joel 2:23, be glad Rejoice in the Lord, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he'll cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And the key and for us is as God is calling it out, probably may develop some of these thoughts in the next couple of days. But we, as we receive this word over ourselves, over our city, over our church, that we home in on that and say, I'm hearing the sound of the abundance of rain. I don't see anything. I'm hearing the sound of the abundance of rain. Go see. I'm hearing the sound of the abundance. And you stay focused until the manifestation comes. You see that? And I've talked about a few of these miracles. And we give up too easily, or we go up, reach a level of provision that's on the first level or the second level. And God wants to release this healings or this deliverance or the breakthrough in the financial realm for us, so that it goes to nothing is impossible with my God. When you see, look around and say, wow, for revival, for souls, for revival, for United States. And part of it, you are seeing first in the natural, then in the spiritual. I saw this headline says, nationwide drought of the last few years is over. And it says in the details, the 17-year drought over the United States was over. Guess what? As you see these figures of unemployment now in the United States is the lowest since the last, what did they say, 17 years. Isn't that something? Say, the drought is over. But the restoration is just beginning. And we have to push through now to level one, level two, level three, to the seventh level. Say seventh level. So there are seven levels of prosperity, seven levels of restoration for us and our families. And we have to, this realm that we are in is, I want to say, the key, and it's important for America, and it's important for us who love America and want to see America is the key to the nation. I want to tell you, the devil hates America because it frustrates him, because the people, Americans don't behave like other people. I'm so glad and I'm so proud of America, I want to tell you, because there is a spirit in America that's in the land that's unique. And of course, the gospel is for every nation. But there is something, this is a key, this nation. And therefore, we are responsible corporately to hope, bringing in the total sevenfold restoration. That the drought will be completely over in every area. So we have just seen some of the fruits of it. And the thing you want to remember, thank God for the president. May God keep him safe, and the vice president and all the people in government. It's important we pray that way. But the author of this restoration is the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the God of Israel, the Lord God. It's all glory goes to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Therefore, realize that this is a spiritual battle, and it's a spiritual challenge. And it'll be first, we win in the spirit. And you guys are the ones anointed for it too. Pray through for the destiny of your children. I'll give you this final thing. I want to pray for you. And we'll save some of it for tomorrow. I told you the story, and And I was at the lunch table with Darren, and I showed him a picture. But maybe I'll copy it and show it to you. But maybe not. Wait, have to wait about 2 more weeks, and you will know why. Darren understands. But when Ben got healed, my son, and I remember, I love movies. So one of the first movies I took him to, when he was better and he could go out and all of that, and now he was older, but 6 years old, seven now, but among the notable, this is, I noted it because the movie came out, Star Wars, The Return of the Jedi, remember? Yeah. 33 years ago, 32, whenever it was. So I took him, and he loved the credits when they came down. And he loved the music when he comes in. And he said, "Daddy, take me again. I want to see that again." And then when we came out, he said, "Daddy, I love the over part." And he looked up at me and he said, "Dad, I know what I want to do. I want to make movies." So I laid hands on him and I said, "Let the vision manifest, Lord. May you, God, fulfill your dreams." Well, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, when Christmas came and they put out the next movie of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Among, you see the credits, and when the editors' names come, among the primary editors of Star Wars, The Force, it's my son, Ben Chopper. And it wasn't just think about that. As a parent, some of you will witness that it wasn't just the healing. God wanted us to hover and pray through and bless the destiny of our children, that it comes to completion and fruition. It's not just a one-time thing. And that's the lesson for us as a church, as stewards of revival and reformation, that we carry this word till the conclusion and the climax of the age comes. I mean, I feel this word that God, we are at the 500th year celebration of anniversary of Reformation. There is something about to take off and is taking off now. And you are part of it. And so I declare over you and your family, the drought is over. Raise your hand and say, "The drought is over.